It's 5:33 and you're listening to Cambridge 105. I've got my guests with me today. Rick Leggett. Good afternoon, Rick.
Hello.
And your lovely wife, Tricia.
Hi.
An unexpected guest, Tricia. Always nice to have an unexpected guest. And Tricia, we will talk to you because we're talking about Rick's exhibition, mm-hmm. which is in the Museum of Cambridge, and you're a volunteer there.
Yes, I am. Yes.
How long have you been volunteering?
It must be about 15 months. Mostly I do front of house, one or two sessions a week.
And you were saying you can talk about the Capturing Cambridge initiative as part of the museum. Tell me a little bit about that.
I've just started doing that quite recently. Capturing Cambridge is a separate website from the museum website. And we really just want to capture people's memories of Cambridge. And of course, they can be quite recent memories because one day they'll be old memories. My own role in that is to gather memories from the Kite area. So if anybody's got any old photos or old stories or memories they'd like to pass on, contact the museum and I'll be in touch with them.
So how do you capture them? Do you go out amongst people of the Kite? Do you ask them to come to you?
I can either do an oral history, go and interview them, or sometimes people write the story of why they moved to the area. Or what we are planning is to have a drop-in session one Friday afternoon and invite people to come, because that doesn't mean they will necessarily now live in the Kite, but they will have done at some point.
And I suppose memories are changing of a certain area, aren't they? Mm. Because there's so much, digital photography now, emails, that it's, as you say, you get it while you can.
I think that's really important. And one of the things I'm doing at the moment is taking photographs of the renovation in the Grafton Centre, because one day that will be history.
Yes, we're watching it now thinking, oh, you remember that, and then you won't.
Yeah, indeed.
Moving away.
Yeah.
Rick's with us from Rick's Radical Mugs exhibition, because you were explaining to me that there's a cabinet in the museum that every month has a different exhibition in it.
That's right. They call it the Community Cabinet. And in a conversation between Tricia and her colleagues at the museum, Tricia mentioned my mug collection, and Hilary, who was going to come today, said, oh, that would be a good exhibition. And here we are on the first day of the exhibition, or the first week of the exhibition. It's on for all of May.
And how many mugs do you have?
I think, I don't know, I had a catalogue once. I had my own index, but I lost it. So I'm not sure how many I've got, but I think it's over 500.
500. And when did you start collecting them?
It all started in 1984 with the miners' strike.
You got a mug then and thought, hey, I like this, I'll get another one.
I got a lot of mugs then. I was a member of the Cambridge Miners Support Group, and amongst more important things like collecting money, buying food and taking it up to help the miners out, we did an initiative of inviting miners and their families to come down to Cambridge for a week and staying with local families and having a holiday from the strike. And that's how I got to know some of the miners and their families. And they had various ephemera, badges and posters and mugs. And they gave me various mugs. And I guess I had a few Labour Party mugs and charity mugs and so on. So I got the collecting bug. And it just grew from there.
I was going to say, it's conscious collection, isn't it? It's not just, over the years you've looked and suddenly thought, oh, do you know what, I've got a lot of radical
mugs. Yeah, one day you realise you've got a mantelpiece full of mugs and then that starts to look like a collection.
Is that right?
Yes, it is. When I first met Rick, he's a very good carpenter as well as everything else. He had built all these bookshelves, but they were mug-sized bookshelves, and he had all these sections around the living room and the kitchen that were all by genre. So there was a feminist section and the trade union section. And I sometimes look back and think, why did I go out with him? But I did.
That does sound like a single man's living room.
Tricia and I met in 1998, and in 1999 we decided that to move in together. That time, effectively, my house was a museum of mugs, but we needed to make various renovations. So all the mugs went up in the attic, and they've been there ever since. So that's 19 years in the attic, and they've come out for the exhibition.
All of them are all in the exhibition?
No, there isn't room for the whole collection. It would take up the whole museum, I think. But there's about 150 mugs catalogued and available to see now.
So how did you choose which ones to put in the exhibition? You obviously love them all.
Yep, I do. Well, some of them are more radical than others. They've all got to have a radical theme. And then some of them have got better graphics or better jokes or whatever is going to interest and amuse people.
Well, let's define radical then, because it's not just... is it political? Is it only political?
The more political ones is Labour Party, miners' strike, other trades disputes... cooperative movement, but then there's more sort of general issues. There's feminism, I've forgotten all the topics, animal rights, human rights, and then there's quite a big international section, because since about the millennium I've been doing quite a lot of travelling. So I've picked up mugs in Europe and Asia and America. So that's expanded the scope of the collection.
Do you actually use these mugs to drink from?
Never, no.
No, of course not.
they might get broken.
And do you have a favourite?
My favourite is a large mug from the village in Nottinghamshire that was twinned with Cambridge and where we met the miners. And they had a special large mug made with the name of the pit, which was Blidduth, written on it, and which was only really for the people who stayed loyal to the end of the strike. So that's a proud possession.
And are any of them valuable?
I've collected a few mugs that are older than 1984. Not particularly valuable, but sort of going back to early mugs celebrating the jubilees of various co-op societies from about 1912, I think, is the earliest. And then I've got some mugs from 1919 celebrating the end of the First World War.
And you're still collecting?
What we say is...
Trish is nodding. Is that a resigned nod?
Once a mugaholic, always a mugaholic.
You've got to be very adaptable, Trisha, to have this in your house, haven't you, when he comes home with another mug?
Well,
it could be worse, I suppose.
I called him a mugaholic because just like an alcoholic might go to an off-licence or a pub, if Rick's vanished and we're out shopping, I look round for mug shops or shops that might have mugs, because that's where he'll be. And, well, most of them are in the loft, but we've got some shelves on the landing and the new ones always end up there.
Lovely. Well, you've got some pictures of the ones that you've got. Can you just... Obviously, this is radio, so nobody can see them, but it actually doesn't really matter, does it? Because it's the slogans that you're buying them
that's
for.
That's right. Well, I was sort of going to highlight a few of the mugs with good slogans on them. In fact, I think in front of you, you've got a couple of the feminist mugs.
I have, you were saying...
I think it would be good if a woman was to read
that.
Do you?
Well, yes. Well, men can be feminist too, and should be. But yes, the first one. This mug contains scalding hot coffee. If you make a sexist remark to me, I will spill it on your crotch. Have a nice day. that's an evil-looking woman on that. And then, yes, one I very much empathise with. I wanted to go out and change the world, but I couldn't find a babysitter. Where did you get those two? Do you remember the provenance of all the mugs?
No, well, I used to write on them. Again, if I could find my catalogue, my original index, I'd remember where they came from, but as it is, I can't. I think probably the scalding hot coffee one is really a commercial mug, whereas the one about finding a babysitter is probably more a sort of, you know, a cause, written for the cause.
They are moments of history as well, aren't they? And I'm just looking through this. You've got the South Africa Freedom Now mug, which actually I remember, particularly during the 80s.
Mm. Yeah. I've actually got that mug in front of me
that's
here.
Oh, there, yes.
And you can see the South Africa Freedom Now. On the back, there's a picture. And if you look at it closely, it's Nelson Mandela trying to push his way out of jail. And there's a little crowd in front holding him in. And at the front of that is, guess who? Margaret Thatcher.
Wow.
She denounced the ANC as a terrorist movement and would have nothing to do with them.
So these mugs are kind of capturing moments in time, really.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
So you've got animal rights here as well. Rats have rights, and general ones from the UK, and some China ones as well.
That's right. In China, the mugs always have lids on. This is a big tin mug. You can hear it rattling, which comes from China. And this has got a kind of classic Marxist saying on it. They had hundreds of mugs, but most of them were Chinese, in Chinese. But this one is in English, and it comes up with this Marxist quote: "When the army and the people unite as one, who in the world is their equal?"
And that's got a lid on it.
And that one's got a lid. Yeah, they like to keep their drinks clean, I think.
Oh, I like and warm. I like that.
But I got another Chinese one in the same series, which is much less Marxist. In fact, it's positively capitalist. And it's got a picture of two children reading a book, and the logo is "Study hard and earn more."
Yeah, well, you can track the history of history through your mugs, can't you? And you've got this one from America with a picture of Donald Trump on it.
That's right. I thought I'd try and bring the collection right up to date for the exhibition, and I saw this mug, and I think it's trying to answer the question: would Jesus turn the other cheek? Because it shows a picture of Jesus giving Donald Trump a good smack round the cheek.
So what now? Have you had any reaction to the exhibition at the museum?
No, well, it's only just started yesterday on Tuesday, but we're having the launch meeting tomorrow, so various people have signed up to come along for the launch, and I'll see what they have to say about it.
And how does it feel to you, sending your mugs out into the world?
Well, I'm quite glad to get them out of the attic. And my next plan is to create a website, a Radical Mugs website, so that anyone can see them across the world.
And actually, Tricia, you got your wife there keeping an eye on them. Should anybody take a fancy to them. But, yeah, quite nice that it must feel like home from home for you.
Yes, it is. I mean, I've teased Rick about the mugs many times, but when you see them as a collection, you really do realise it's social history.
Do you collect anything?
No.
So you're collecting for both of you. Well, lovely to talk to you. Good luck with the exhibition and lovely to see these mugs. We will give you a Cambridge 105 mug
for your collection.
It's 5:43.